Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building an Amen-style call and response riff in Ableton Live 12, and we're arranging it so it actually feels like a proper drum and bass conversation. Not just a loop, a conversation. One element asks, then other answers, and the groove keeps moving forward. This is one of those techniques that can instantly make a drop feel alive, especially in darker rollers, jungle-infused sections, neuro-leaning halftime moments, or any DNB idea where the drums and bass need to feel locked together but still dynamic. The big idea is simple. The Amen break gives you motion and syncopation, and the bass phrases give you punctuation and attitude. When those two things talk to each other, the whole track gets way more urgent. We're going to stay inside Ableton's stock tools for this. So no fancy third-party stuff needed. Just smart chopping, thoughtful sound design, and automation that actually shapes the phrase instead of just decorating it. Start by setting up a clean project. You want one audio track for the Amen break, one MIDI track for your sub bass, one MIDI track for your mid bass response, and at least one return track for delay or ambience. I also recommend a subtle reverb return, but keep that tastefully low. In this style, this is often more. For tempo, aim somewhere around 170 to 174 BPM. If you want a more classic jungle feel, 170 to 172 is a great zone. If you want it a little more modern and urgent, 173 or 174 can push it harder. And before you get too excited and start stacking stuff, leave headroom on the master. You want your rough mix peaking around -6 dB. That gives you room to judge the low end properly. If you have a reference track, now is the time to drop it in. Keep it quiet and use it only to compare groove, density, and arrangement shape. Don't copy it, just study how the drop breathes. Now let's build the Amen foundation. Import an Amen break into Ableton and either slice it to a drum rack or load it into Sampler. For this kind of workflow, drum rack is usually the better choice because it gives you direct access to individual hits, fills, and mutes. That's perfect when you want the drum phrase to leave space for the bass to answer. Start with the classic break feel, then edit it around your bass phrasing. High pass the break a little with EQ8, somewhere around 30 to 48Z, just to clear out the useless rumble. Then add a bit of drum bus, if needed, but keep it controlled. You want punch and blue, not a smashed up mess. A little drive, very light transients if you need them, and a very modest boom setting if any. The point is to preserve the micro groove of the Amen, especially the ghost notes and snare movement. Now pay attention to where the bass is going to speak. If the sub needs a gap, remove a kick or soften a drum hit in that spot. If the response bass is going to answer after the snare, leave a small pocket there. This is the whole trick. The drum phrase isn't just there to be busy. It creates the frame that makes the bass line sound intentional. Let's design the sub call. For the sub, operator is perfect. Load up a simple sine wave. Keep it clean, centered, and mono. No need to overcomplicate it. Give it a short attack and a moderate decay, or a low sustain if you want more of a plucked feel. If you want a tiny bit more punch at the start of each note, a subtle pitch envelope can help it speak faster. The sub phrase should be short, rhythmic, and confident. Think in 2 to 4 notes over 2 bars. This is not the place for a melodic line. It's more like a tight rhythmic statement. Let it land around the snare gaps or answer a ghost note cluster. Short notes, clear timing, no extra fluff. A really useful mindset here is question and answer length. The sub call can be short and dry. It doesn't need to explain itself. It just needs to land. Then the response can be a little longer, a little dirtier, or even delayed by a tiny amount so it feels like a reply instead of a clone. After the synth, add saturator. Turn on soft clip, add a few dB of drive, and keep the output balanced. This gives the sub a bit of controlled edge without losing the fundamental. And remember, if it sounds better just because it's louder, that's not sound design. That's just louder. Always level match. Now let's build the response bass, which is where the personality really comes in. Use Waveitable, analog, or even a resampled layer if you want. This layer should live more in the low mid and mid range. The sub handles the weight, the response handles the attitude. A good starting point is a saw or a square-based Waveitable with a low-pass filter and some movement on either the filter cutoff or the Waveitable position. Keep unison moderate. You don't want the low end getting blurry. Add a little saturation or overdrive so it reads on small speakers, and if you want that more aggressive neuro flavor, give it tiny, controlled motion instead of huge obvious wobble. The response phrase should feel like an answer. It can beat a little longer than the sub call, or land slightly later to create tension. Try writing a two-bar phrase, where the response hits after the drum has already spoken. may be the sublands on beat 2.2 and 3.3, and the response comes in a 2.4 and 4.1. That kind of offset makes the whole thing feel like a dialogue instead of a stacked pattern. If you're using a filter on the response bass, start it fairly closed and open it slightly over time. You can automate cutoff, resonance, or even the distortion amount. Just make sure the movement is musical. Automation in this style should create phrasing, not just motion for its own sake. If a parameter move doesn't change tension or release, it probably isn't doing enough. Now we move into arrangement and evolution, which is where this idea becomes a real drop instead of just an 8-bar loop. Duplicate your core 2-bar idea across 8 bars, then start automating across the section. Keep the first couple of bars relatively restrained. Let the listener understand the conversation. Then, around bars 3 and 4, open the filter a little. Add a bit more drive. Maybe throw a short delay on the last response note at the end of bar 4. That kind of move is huge because it creates a little punctuation mark before the next phrase. In bars 5 and 6, you can increase saturation slightly or introduce a new layer of grit. Then by bars 7 and 8, pull something back. Maybe mute one bass hit, or dip the filter just before the turnaround. That little drop in energy makes the next re-entry hit harder. This is where a lot of people go wrong. They keep every bar equally busy, and then the loop starts feeling flat. The answer isn't always more notes. Sometimes the answer is more contrast. Leave space. Let the amen breathe. Let the bass phrase sound like it's responding to something real. If you want to get more hands-on, Live 12 is great for capturing performance ideas. If you jam a bass reply live and it feels good, use Capture MIDI. That can be a super fast way to catch a natural call and response idea before you tighten it up. Sometimes the best groove comes from playing it first, then editing it second. Now let's talk about arrangement shape. A really solid DNB drop structure for this kind of riff could be 4 bars of intro energy, 8 bars of main statement, then a 4-bar switch up, and then another phrase that escalates. In the first 4 bars of the drop, keep the idea clear. Don't overfill it. Let the listener hear the relationship between the amen and the bass. Then in the next section, add a new hat, a different break slice order, or a small bass variation. Bar 4 and bar 8 are especially important. Those are the turnaround moments, where a loop either starts to feel like a loop, or starts to feel like a real section of a track. Use those bars wisely. A tiny fill, a quick mute, a reverse crash, or one bass note removed can completely change the energy. If you want the drop to feel DJ-friendly, think about the longer arc too. A clean intro, a strong 16-bar or 32-bar drop, and a simple outro with reduced bass can make the tune easier to mix while still feeling powerful. Now let's tighten the mix. Keep the sub mono. Use utility if you need to force the width down. The mid bass can have some width, but only in the upper harmonics. Don't widen the low end just because it sounds big in headphones. That usually falls apart in a club. Use a Q8 on each layer. High pass the response bass so it doesn't fight the sub. Depending on the sound, that might be around 80 to 150 Hz. Then check the kick and sub relationship carefully. If the kick has strong weight around 50 to 60 Hz, make sure the sub isn't stepping on that zone too hard. On the drum bus, glue compressor can help, but keep it gentle. A couple dB of gain reduction is usually enough. Slow attack, medium or auto release, and don't crush the break so much that the ghost notes disappear. The amen needs its micro groove. That's part of the magic. Mono check often. Seriously. A bass idea can sound massive in stereo and then collapse in mono if the low mid is too wide or too modulated. Keep the reedal weight focused and reserve width for texture and air. If the loop is working but still feels a little polite, here are a few good ways to push it harder without just adding random layers. Try duplicating the response bass and high-passing the copy aggressively. Then distort that copy harder and blend it underneath the clean layer. That gives you parallel grime while keeping the main tone controlled. Another great trick is subtle pitch movement at the start of the sub call. A tiny pitch envelope or very short glide can make it feel more aggressive without turning it into a wobble bass. You can also automate mute throws. Briefly cut the response bass for an eighth note or a quarter beat before a key snare, then let it slam back in. That kind of negative space creates way more impact than just adding more notes. And if the loop feels too together, deliberately separate the identity of each layer. The sub is weight. The mid bass is attitude. The break is motion. The effects are glue. If those roles blur together, the groove loses its clarity. At this point, a really useful move is to resample the idea. Print the bass bus to audio, Then chop the best moments and rebuild from those fragments. That workflow is very DNB, especially for jungle and darker styles. Once you've printed the phrase, you can treat it like a drum edit and move the best bits around more freely. Sometimes that's what turns a good idea into a killer one. For practice, here's a quick challenge. Build a 4-bar immense style call and response loop. Use one break track, one sub bass, one mid bass, and one return FX send. Keep the phrase simple. Automate just one thing, like filter or cutoff or delay send. Then bounce it to audio and make one resampled edit. Cut a bass hit, add a delay throw, or shift one note a tiny bit earlier or later. The goal is to make the loop feel like a conversation, not just a repeating pattern. And if it still feels flat, don't add more. Reduce the note count first. In heavier DNB, arrangement discipline often creates more impact than extra processing ever will.